Sorry about that, but I have lost my voice. I don't think I'm contagious, but I'm going to have to do it this way this morning. Thank Gary for doing that reading. And I've asked Jonathan to help me to save as much voice as I have. He'll be doing some of the scripture reading for me that we'll see in the lesson. As I announced at the end of last year, as we were finishing up and had not finished the book of Isaiah, I will finish it in these early morning sessions here in the month of January. At our final Bible study period of 2023, we stopped at Isaiah 65 and verse 12. Now the entire 65th chapter consists of God's response to the prayer that Isaiah offered on behalf of the sinful nation. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to review Isaiah 65, verses 1 through 12, and then we will finish the rest of the 65th chapter. So you will remember that Isaiah, as God responds to their prayer, there was a question of whether the prayer was the prayer of the people was genuine, or whether they were truly repentant. But Isaiah offered a true prayer of repentance on behalf of the children of Israel. And so Isaiah talks about the reasons why God found it necessary to execute judgment on Israel, particularly on the nation of Judah. God had repeatedly revealed himself to them, starting with the patriarchs, and then throughout the history of the nation. But it wasn't just that they disobeyed him, didn't listen. They actually had rebelled and done things contrary in their stubbornness to what God had instructed them to do. And Isaiah enumerates those in the first part of the 65th chapter. They had rejected God's ways, he says, but they had turned from him, primarily in idolatry. But he also mentions witchcraft and probably sorcery, astrology, those type of things that other nations around them followed. They turned to that rather than the words of God's prophets that God sent to them. And so in addition to that, they had ignored the dietary laws, and particularly the dietary laws connected with sacrifice, because the pagan nations often ate bloody sacrifices. And under the law of Moses, they were to bleed the animal, and they were not to eat the blood. And he specifically mentions that they ate these bloody sacrifices. And then he finally sums it up by saying, you actually considered yourself smarter than God. You thought your ways were right rather than the ways that God had given you. So God's response to that was that he was not going to tolerate their disobedience, and he declares his judgment. And so in the last part of 65 verses 8 through 12, he declares, and Isaiah says, this is what God says. This is not what I say, but this is what God says. He's going to preserve his true servants in this judgment. Even in the midst of this rebellion and that this disobedience characterized the nation when taken as a whole, there were those that would be his servants. And he uses this figure and calls them new wine. The wine that's obtained right when you crush the harvest grapes. He says, that's good wine, and I will preserve it. It hasn't become contaminated. So that's his promise of saying, we're not going to totally destroy this nation. And then he basically says that this judgment will distinguish between his true servants and all others. And so he says his true servants he will bless. And he talks about the blessings that he's going to give them. While those who forsake God will suffer the effects of his judgment. So that brings us to the part that we have not read or studied. And so John's going to read this for us.
Isaiah 65:13-16. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, my servants shall eat, but you shall be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but you shall be put to shame. Behold, my servants shall sing for gladness of heart, but you shall cry out for pain of heart and shall wail for breaking of spirit. You shall leave your name to my chosen for a curse, and the Lord God will put you to death, but his servants he will call by another name, so that he who blesses himself in the land shall bless himself by the God of truth, and who takes an oath in the land shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten and are hidden from my eyes.
So in this reading, what we find is that there's a great contrast between God's servants and the rebellious. And some of these things are put in very human terms. My servants will eat. Those being judged will go hungry. My servants will drink. The others will be thirsty. They'll be rejoicing by my servants. The others will be put to shame. And these contrast. And so, when you look down the column of this is what's in store for God's servants, we see that those are all positive things. And include the fact that their troubles will be forgotten because they are undergoing troubles because of the judgment. They're in captivity or going into captivity. But he says, we, God, will put that behind you. You will forget those troubles. But to those who are not my faithful servant, all you will have is the judgment. And I want to point out that that contrast is really present in every instance of God's judgment. Whether you look at his judgment on the nations, as we see so often in the prophets, or even when you come to the teachings of Jesus, the difference between those who are blessed by God and those who are have his judgment executed upon them is this just contrast in outcomes, what they will have as a result of their relationship with God. And so from that, Isaiah goes on to talk about God creating a new creation. John.
Isaiah 65:17-19. For behold, I create the new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy, and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress.
This is a familiar passage in Isaiah. And many people, when they read this phrase, the new heavens and the new earth, they assume that that's talking about a physical heavens and a physical earth. And if you ever have had discussions, for instance, with Jehovah's Witness, they really just dwell on this, that this world's going to be totally destroyed and that there's not really people on this earth except for a select few don't look forward to heaven. They look forward to when God creates a new heaven and a new earth. But I want to remind us that we're still talking about Isaiah, which is prophecy and which is Hebrew poetry. And In that kind of language, this phrase would simply indicate a new beginning or a new order. And that type of imagery is used throughout Scripture. For instance, in John 3 in the New Testament, when Nicodemus comes to Jesus, he's confused on that same point. When Jesus tells him, well, you must be born again. Unless you're born of the water and the Spirit, you can't see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus's first question is, how can I get back in my mother and be born again? And Jesus makes the point, I'm not talking physically, I'm talking spiritually. In the New Testament, it says when we obey the gospel, we are born again. We are a new creature. That's not a description of us physically. We don't come out of the waters of baptism and become another kind of being. In the physical sense, you come out of baptism and you are a new kind of spiritual person. And so I think those who just emphasize that this has to be taken literally are very much missing the point that Isaiah is making. He's saying when God redeems his faithful, when he executes these promises, there will be a new order, a new spiritual order of things in which his blessings will be found for these people. So that's the promise. And so then he talks about the future blessings when this new order begins.
Isaiah 65, 20 through 25. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children in calamity, for they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the dust shall be the serpent's food. And they shall not hunt or destroy in all of my holy mountain, says the Lord.
So this passage sets forth this contrast between the new order and the lives they have known. As they are going to see their city fall, their king killed, the people are either going to be killed or be carried into captivity. And so their whole lives are going to be disrupted. And so the poetry and the figure continues. And so he gives this description of this spiritual reality, but he gives it in terms that they would understand, things that they could relate to due to their human existence. And so these scriptural ideals, the scriptural reality, is expressed that their lives will be different than the ones they have known in captivity. And so as we look at this, he talks in terms of a long and prosperous life. Nobody's going to die young. Now we know that's not literally true. Jesus died young. James died young. Stephen died young. But he's talking about the overall impact of the blessing. It's going to be a time of life and security. He says you can build your house and you'll get to live in it. These are people who had built their houses, and the Babylonians had taken them away from their houses and moved them hundreds of miles away and let somebody else live in their houses. He says, you'll be able to plant vineyards and you'll enjoy the fruit. Again, whatever they had done to improve their land, they had lost because they had been taken into captivity. And so this contrast, put in very physical terms, is to say your lives are going to change and be much better. And in the same way, it describes how satisfied they're going to be when these blessings occur. He says you're going to see the fruitful outcome of your life. You're going to realize that your work has not been in vain, that the things you've gone through have been worth it, and that you will not face calamity with your children. Some of these people to whom he is talking may have actually experienced watching their children die at the hands of the Babylonians. And so he's basically saying this new order will not be like the lives you've been living. And so he then says these are really spiritual blessings. He starts with the fact that when you call upon God, God will hear you. God will answer you. And that contrasts to what we studied, right, before we came to the end of the study, when they were crying out, thinking God was still pleased with them. Why are you letting these things happen to us? Well, they were happening because they were unfaithful. He says, in this new order, you will be faithful to me, and when you call to me, I will answer. And then he says there will be spiritual peace. And that is not a peace among humans, but that is the spiritual peace of a relationship in which God will take care of them. The famous passage that, again, our Jehovah's Witnesses friends take quite literally, that this will be a time when wolf and lamb will graze together and that type of thing, isn't to be literally understood, but it's to be understood that this will be a time of peace. So Isaiah looks to the ultimate future when the promises to Israel are satisfied with God's spiritual kingdom. So next time I'm scheduled to speak, hopefully my voice will be back by then, we'll conclude the study of the book of Isaiah by looking at Isaiah chapter 66. Now, the one who's scheduled to say the prayer is not here, so I'm going to ask Brother Cliff, will you say the prayer? And then we'll be dismissed to our Bible class.